It's The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. This year, the World Economic Forum's annual meeting, also known as Davos, for the city in Switzerland, which hosts it, is 100% virtual. Part of the forum is a three-day event called the Female Quotients Equality Lounge, and among those speakers is one of Pittsburgh's own. Leah Lizarondo is the co-founder and CEO of 412 Food Rescue, an organization that seeks to reduce both hunger and food waste. She's speaking later this afternoon on a panel about the critical role of women's leadership in global recovery and resurgence. Leah, welcome back to The Confluence.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
We know food insecurity has worsened during the pandemic. Since we last checked in with 412 Food Rescue in late March, has much changed? Have more people volunteered? Has more food been distributed?
Hunger has doubled in 9 months. And when we were talking, 1 in 9 people were food insecure. Now that number is as high as 1 in 4 and 1 in 5. And I guess one of the more inspiring things that I see is that, you know, in March is that we experienced the largest volume of downloads in our app ever. And so we know that while crisis is happening, on the other side of that, so many people want to help.
So let's go to the panel. Women are often not provided leadership roles or given credit. What do women leaders bring to a pandemic that is mostly impacting women and people of color?
December saw a job loss of over 140,000, and 100% of those were women. So women are so much more adversely affected, and we all know that with any crisis, populations of color and minorities are even more affected as well. So in this pandemic, we've also seen that the most successful interventions are with leadership and in countries that have women as leaders. You know, we know about Jacinda Ardern. We've heard about her success in New Zealand. As we start this period of growth, regrowth and resurgence, you know, we need to have women at the table, primarily because we lead differently than men. Our lived experiences are different, but we also, you know, having an equal voice at the table always contributes to better adaptation.
How are women leading, maybe from other entities, even organizations such as yours?
Yeah, I mean, in Pittsburgh, we, you know, hunger is one of the most obvious symptoms of this pandemic. And we are lucky here in Pittsburgh that many of our food support organizations are led by women, you know, the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. You know, I watch these women lead and I see how these organizations are, you know, doing work that is extremely difficult, but being extremely effective at it.
So what do you see as the path forward to bring more racial equity and more women of color into leadership positions?
You know, there's many many things that we need to do to make that happen. Kamala, breaking one glass ceiling is certainly a big step towards more diversity, not to put political lines to what we do, but we do need to see ourselves. The second is, you know, more women need to step up as well and step up into the fold. And then third, male allies. We can't discount the importance of men who do step up for change. You know, these three together, among other things, in terms of breaking what is endemically causing these shifts and these rifts in our society, are little steps and big steps towards massive change.
Leah, what do you think needs to happen for a recovery to become a resurgence, or perhaps for things to become better than they were pre-pandemic?
Well, first of all, it takes all of us. You know, it's not dependent on one entity, one leader, one organization, one branch of government. It really takes everyone working together to do this. I think the lowest common denominator is looking at ourselves and seeing what is my role? What is my role in this recovery and resurgence? And it could be as simple as volunteering. It could be as complicated as running for office. When I say it takes all of us, it really takes all of us to be introspective and figure out, you know, what can I personally do?
So what is Leah Lizarrando's role in moving from recovery to resurgence?
I think my job at this point with 412 Food Rescue and our technology platform is to really take care of my team, because my team has been doing such a great job in terms of weathering this crisis and introducing really groundbreaking programs like home delivery. We need to make food access as actually accessible to everyone as possible.
Leah Lizarrando is the co-founder and CEO of 412 Food Rescue. She'll be speaking virtually at 4:30 this afternoon on a panel through the Female Quotient Equality Lounge. It's part of the World Economic Forum's annual meeting. Leah, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Many businesses have taken a big hit from the pandemic with reduced capacity and health precautions. Some of those businesses include Pennsylvania's 13 casinos. According to the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board, last year gaming revenues declined about $750 million. That's 22% from the previous year. Doug Harbach is with the Gaming Control Board and joins us now. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Doug, bars and restaurants were shut down or severely restricted. About how many days of business did the casinos lose?
They clearly lost a third of their days of operation. So that's, you know, 33% of the days. When they were opened, they were under the same type of restrictions in regards to how many people could be into the facility. The fact that, you know, you couldn't go there and bring drinks onto the floor. Some machines were shut down so that there was social distancing. So those type of things also, even when open, interfered with the normal flow of patrons.
Mm-hmm. Doug, when restrictions were lifted or eased, was there any sense that people actually wanted to go back inside the casinos, you know, where they might sit around for a few or even several hours?
They had pretty good crowds going in there. The other thing the casinos did was to make them safe venues. So when you go in there, you are going to be socially distanced. You're going to see plexiglass up between most of the machines. And at the table games, you're going to make sure that masks are on every person that's in there at all times. Mm-hmm. So those things were done. And I think it made those people who did want to go back to the casino, and not everybody did, but a lot of the people felt safe doing so.
The loss in revenue, of course, has an impact on tax revenues. I believe it's 54% of gaming revenues go for property tax reduction, supporting the horse racing industry, economic development, and local government, such as the airport authority, to pay for the airport. Are those recipients feeling the impact? Are you getting any word?
Not yet. We won't know until April 15th. That's when the governor's office and the budget secretary announce how much they will be putting toward property tax relief for all Pennsylvania residents. Certainly less money came in from the slot machine play, particularly for that fund. But there also have been some reserves, and it's up to the governor's office on where, you know, if they have funds elsewhere to replenish that so they can keep the amount of property tax relief for homeowners at a level it's been over the last 12 years. Mm.
Doug, there was some good news. The combined revenue of the four other forms of gaming established under the Gaming Expansion Act of 2017, including iGaming and video terminals, at more than quadrupled, but not enough to offset the decline in table games and slots, right?
Correct. There's no doubt that the retail slot machines in casinos are king. However, we were very fortunate because we're one of only a handful of states that were ahead of the curve in offering casino type games. And that includes slot machines, that includes table games such as blackjack and roulette, and even poker. We saw a significant increase in all of those areas of individuals in play. And that did turn into tax revenue that was able to offset some of what the losses were. And also the other thing that we were able to do was take what was already a growing new segment, which is sports wagering, and also put that onto the internet so that individuals, especially during this last quarter of the year, which is football season. So they had an option to participate in that with the casinos closed, and therefore also generate a significant amount of revenue.
As you alluded to, internet gambling did very well, making $566 million last year compared to, I believe, $34 million in 2019. We're all getting used to doing things from home. Do you think internet gambling is the future of gambling in Pennsylvania?
I do think that there's going to be a full life for casinos in the future. And candidly, the internet games may very well be something that attracts a whole different type of person to want to get involved in this type of entertainment.
Finally, Doug, Pennsylvania at one point was number two in the nation for gambling state revenue, I believe second only to Nevada. What would it take for Pennsylvania, for our state, to see its revenues bounce back that high?
It's coming. I mean, there's no doubt that as we open more casinos and as we have them open full time, in fact, we'll be back up. And I saw an industry expert write that he expects that our $3.4 billion market or so, $3.5 billion market would rise to as much as $4 billion by the next couple of years. And I think that's very doable as we get more casinos open and that we have more internet sites open. There's not going to be any more growth probably in a place like Las Vegas and the rest of Nevada.
Doug Harbach is with the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board. Thanks for your time, Doug.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me. And I hope everyone has a safe time as we start to open things up again.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Two nonprofit organizations that serve individuals with disabilities are joining forces starting this month. ACHIVA is a southwestern Pennsylvania-based organization that provides a range of disability advocacy and services. The Autism Connection of Pennsylvania services families and individuals with autism. Steve Sirovic is the president and CEO of ACHIVA. Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Lou Randall is the president of Autism Connection of Pennsylvania. Lou, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Your organizations have worked together before, but with this affiliation, Autism Connection staffers are relocating to ACHIVA's headquarters and are adding two trustees to the board for ACHIVA. So is this more like a merger, a consolidation of resources? How would you describe it, Steve?
It's an affiliation. We already have several organizations within our family of organizations, and now through this affiliation, Autism Connection of PA will be joining ACHIVA and really providing its resources and expertise to really beef up ACHIVA's support services and advocacy mission.
Lou, what's this going to mean for your existing clients?
Well, we reach about 14,000 people every week with our email and our social media, even adds to that. And I think what it means to them is, like, we've been listening to them for the past 25 years. We know what they need. We know what they want. But we haven't really had that muscle that ACHIVA helps us bring to the legislative table, to policy, to the multiple boards that we sit on in terms of, like, victim services, adult protective services, provider oversight boards. So together, we're just going to have a lot more impact and bring the autism voice to the front, because it's just a difficult type of thing to do.
Bring it to the front. What do you mean by that?
Well, part of autism's challenge is a communication disorder at times, and it's a hidden disability. So we work with people like police officers or teachers or school districts or just general population. We've always got to help people communicate their needs out, because just because someone has a processing communication disorder doesn't mean that they don't have the same needs and wants that the rest of us have.
Steve, is this a matter of improving efficiency? Will there be cost saving? Or will you be able to expand services?
Yes, to all of those things. I think with Autism Connection coming in, and what ACHIVA, I think, brings to the table for Autism Connection will be a lot of our back office support services, such as, you know, finance and payroll and HR and things like that. You know, right now, Autism Connection really has to invest a lot of time and effort and money into doing those kinds of things for a relatively smaller organization and staff, we'll be able to absorb that and provide the economies of scale and really enable Autism Connection to redirect those precious resources to their mission.
Lou, this joining of forces, this affiliation, it's happening at a fairly critical time for families. What are you hearing from families right now?
We do have goals this year to help increase family choice in terms of types of therapies that they access. So that's sort of like a broader goal. But right now, what I'm hearing from families are more concerns around pandemic, the basic needs of life. People have lost jobs. So that's sort of what's coming in on our phone line right now and through our email and our messaging. We take concerns any kind of way because we want to make sure we have a lot of access for people who need different ways to communicate.
Finally, over the summer, we spoke with Nancy Murray with Achieve about the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. She said while progress has been made, there's still work to do in supporting the community of people with disabilities, and the pandemic certainly hasn't helped. To both of you, what do you think can be accomplished, must be accomplished in 2021? Lou, we'll start with you.
I believe that for this year, we're going to just look at maximizing our strengths and listening to our communities and letting them tell us what they need. Part of my staff has kids with disabilities, with autism. Some of us don't. And I think globally, you know, we've just got a lot of challenges and we learn a lot from living with challenges and living with disability. And lately I've seen some really interesting pieces out there about what autistic people and people with different disabilities can teach us about living under these new conditions.
And Steve?
I think what the ADA does is ensure that people cannot be discriminated against legally, lawfully. But that doesn't mean that people with disabilities aren't discriminated against still. And sometimes that's attitudinal discrimination or attitudes towards people with disabilities. We still have a very low employment rate for people with disabilities in the community. We need to improve that. We just went through COVID, continue to go through COVID, and we've encountered some really what I believe systemic discrimination issues where people with disabilities were being denied to have their family or support workers admitted into hospitals when they were going into the hospitals. And so, you know, we still have a lot of work to do moving forward.
Just an example of that, too. For years and years, people with communication differences have been asking for telemedicine services because they can't get to a doctor or a therapist. And suddenly, you know, that was a form of discrimination, ADA or not. Like Steve said, it's an act, but it doesn't mean people act upon it. And now that we've all gotten that, I'm really hoping we can fight to keep those kind of access services in place forever for people that need that.
Lou Randall is president of Autism Connection of Pennsylvania. Steve Sorovic is president and CEO of Achieva. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Isabel Schmaler, Lara Satsui, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.